Congratulations. You've made an excellent life choice today. You're displaying strong character and good taste in tuning into this infotainment web zone. We're poorly informed, highly opinionated, and hold no topic off limits. This is Idiots Discuss the Universe. Welcome to episode 27 of Idiots Discuss the Universe. I'm Craig. This is Spencer.
Hello.
And we're going to kind of touch into this topic that we've talked a little bit about some things kind of around this idea in past episodes where we talked about utopian societies. I guess Spencer was in London, so he didn't make it for that episode. But yeah. Me and Barry talked about that, about utopian societies. Me and Barry argued a little bit in that one. But there's some fire. Well, there's a little bit of fireworks in that episode.
I was too busy hanging out in a utopian society.
London, England.
No problems there.
No problems.
Let me tell you.
It's all
and
just,
if there are problems, it's been filmed. It's on camera. They know about it and they get rid of it.
And when they talk about it, it's in that great accent, so everything sounds a lot better.
I'm from London, mate. tea and crumpet.
Sorry.
And no, I could just sit here and listen to that music all night long, Spencer. That's just amazing. So we're going to talk about like something that might actually turn into like a real problem for the human race, and relatively shortly. This is a problem that feasibly I could deal with in my lifespan, and Spencer has quite a bit better chance of dealing with it in his lifespan.
Oh, great.
And certainly, like, you know, kids that are just little bitty babies will probably have to deal with it in their lifespan. The idea of a post-scarcity society.
Post-scarcity. So what is that? Does that mean like nothing is scarce anymore?
Right. I'll give you the definition of the things that need to happen for a post-scarcity society. This okay. is the these are like the societal things, not like the technological and such advances.
Does it mean you don't have any more scary cities?
Oh. God, that's so bad. It was just like, I was like, what?
Oh, Craig just looked at me like I had farted really bad or something.
If I had a place to put my head down on the table, I would put my head down on the table right now. And just take a little joke break.
What does it mean?
Okay, six things. One, abundant wealth and resources. Two, abundant safety and security. Three, abundant, honest information. Four, large, diverse social pool. Five, a sense of purpose, which is what we're going to talk about, I think, the most today. And six, minimal coercion.
Wait, all these things sound like really good things.
Great. A post-scarcity society is a really good thing.
Oh, it's a good thing.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And we're headed in that direction. There are a couple things, as I see it, that might be able to keep us away from getting there, assuming that we can get past the technological hurdles that we're trying to get past right now. All we really need is we need to develop a robot that can make copies of itself from whatever tissue is currently available. And we're very close to making nanobots that can make simple copies of themselves out of material that is on hand. Material.
That sounds a little Terminator-y to me.
It is a little Terminator-y, but in the sense that these robots will be able to be controlled. From what I understand, that was one of these things that he goes into it. This documentary I was looking at that talks about this. But we're really quite close to being able to have nanobots that can create copies of themselves that can do various functions and in sense like the Star Trek materialize or when they order food and things like that, that they can turn one form of matter into another form of matter, giving us instant abundance.
Yeah, because it sounds like the you know, the restrictions in this type of model would still be resource based. You know what I mean?
Like there are, but when you can turn things like, you can turn seawater into fresh water, right, just by dropping these robots into the reservoir that you filled with seawater. Mm-hmm. And in that sense, like, yes, there is a limited amount of seawater, but with, you know, there's opportunities to take, you can take sand of the Sahara Desert and turn it into tacos, you know, in theory. In sure. theory, that's something that is...
By rearranging atoms or something like that?
Right. As soon as 20 years away, they believe that that sort of stuff is possible, that if our technological improvements continue at the rate that they're going, we're 20 to 35 years away from that.
Damn.
Okay, so what that means is those little robots get injected into the human form.
Nope. I'm out.
Okay.
I'm done.
Spencer's out. So let's say that Craig's in. All right. Craig's in. So he gets it. I get it. I'm talking about in third person, which is super creepy. I'm sorry, everybody. I inject these robots in there and I give them a series of commands. So what happens is they start to rewrite my cells for me. I grow younger. I become smarter. I no longer have to work out. I become in shape. I become in good enough shape that I can go and just run a marathon and I'll beat the best time of anybody alive up until this point. No problem. I will cease to age in a meaningful way. I mean, there will be eventually an endpoint of your physical existence, but it is more of, it's such a long ways away as these cells repair things as you age. You can eat anything you want. There is no caloric or alcoholic or any sort of restrictions. You are physically capable on the level that you could probably take on SEAL Team 6 by yourself, unarmed, and kill all of them, no problem whatsoever, due to the rewiring and the enhancement of your brain that these nanobots and the various other forms of advancements they think that we'll have at this time will grant you. In essence, you will be like this super functioning superhero. You'll be like Batman, in a sense.
Wait. That all sounds so awesome. I'm just like afraid to even actually consider it. You know what I mean?
It's something that, and this will also translate into the rest of the world, where in the sense that unless you want something that infringes on the rights of another, or you want something that is like super unique, like not everybody can have an original Fabergé egg because there are only 13 of them or whatever. You can have a copy because these things will just create whatever you want out of whatever you want. And there'll be no waste. You know, you throw things away, these machines will turn garbage into whatever else that we want it to be. And so we can live in whatever kind of house that we want. We can have whatever kind of clothes we want. We can do all of these things as much as we want. There is abundance for everyone. And at the same time, there's abundance for wildlife, and there's all of these other things. They can repair, they can take the carbon out of the air. It's going to really change things around, and we're going to hit most of those things on that first six. On that list of six things, it's going to be a.
But isn't it only going to be for like, you know, like the rich people or something like that?
The thing is these robots are self-replicating, so only a few of them ever have to get out. And if they're going to use this stuff to like fix the water supply and do these things, it's going to be like the common basic programming, whereas computers at the beginning were for like scientists and the elite, but like the basic parts of it were pretty accessible to the average person. You could get this technology because it's self-replicating, so it would be super cheap, and do it yourself. You know, you could program these things to do the things. In a sense, it's going to be super democratizing because it's going to be really hard to keep the way it is. It will. There will be a curve into that sort of thing, but it will be an unsuppressible democracy. There'll be no reason to hold it back because everybody's going to have everything that they need, you know.
Okay, so now I can see why the question of like meaning and purpose comes into play, mm-hmm. because, you know, in a lot of ways, it's struggle and it's trying to get the things that you want that gives your life purpose, not just having a robot do everything for you or whatever. But I just my too good to be true sense is going off here. You know what
mm-hmm.
I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's just one of those things where I'm like, what's the catch? Like, oh, you know, the only catch is that whenever you get a boner, it hurts more than 1,000 suns. Mm-hmm. Like, there's this mm-hmm. one little catch like that mm-hmm. that makes the whole thing like, mm-hmm. oh, fuck that.
Right.
You know what I mean? That we couldn't even conceive of at this point, but then mm-hmm. once it's implemented, it's mm-hmm. like, oh, it turns out you bleed out of your eyes every 2 weeks.
I think that you've already nailed it. I think it's not something that we can't conceive. I think that you've already nailed it. Where you said, we have been evolutionarily trained since before we were even up on two legs, since we were a little amoebas cruising around in the thing, that what do? We try to find a way to exist against the troubles and the catastrophes that the environment throws our way. That's what we do. I mean, we try to feed ourselves and we exist through struggle. And if we remove all real forms of struggle, what happens? Because if you think about it, as society has become more posh, and I mean, our homeless people live better than a lot of people lived that were wealthy in the Middle Ages, as far as just general, like they don't eat as awful. They just know better. They know that, like, oh, maybe I should wash my hair every once in a while, or maybe I shouldn't drink out of the poop water.
Right.
You know, in that sense, they're healthier than the medieval people. And as we progress, as we get more, we're pretty, even as working class, pretty, you know, no one's looking at me or Spencer as we cruise around town like, oh man, that guy's really living. You know what I'm saying? We're not like high rollers. We're not in our Lexus. You know, I don't have a Lexus. Do you have a Lexus?
In my brain, I have a Lexus.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe he had a Lexus. Maybe he kept it home and he just kind of took the other car over here to make me feel okay about my car.
Which I
would appreciate. You know, I would have appreciated that.
I'm thinking about you, Craig.
I know. Yeah. I picture you in a Lexus.
Really?
You know? Yeah. Like a white Lexus with gold trim on there.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Maybe some Arab dance music coming out of the side of it. But I can kind of see that. I can kind of see that.
Well,
you know,
no, I can kind of see it too.
Arab girls, you know, sort of. Maybe mm-hmm. like a desert landscape there. That's a video idea. Maybe we could do an idiot's video someday.
Someday.
But anyway, I don't remember where we were going with that.
Well, so basically, like the average person, the average poor person today is living better
right.
than your average rich person from the Dark Ages.
But I think that the richer and the more you get your material needs met, the more miserable most people become. And I think that's one reason why we have such a general addiction to fear and tragedy and all the shit that's going on with our cultural malaise, is because we kind of have like most of the day-to-day stuff kind of dialed and we have time to worry about it.
That's very true. That's, and, yeah.
if we get everything so completely dialed that we can be like, oh, I want a such and such designer dress, or I want such and such sports car today, you can have it.
It'll be utterly worthless, though.
Mm.
Like, if you can just get a pile of cow shit and have a bunch of robots turn it into a Gucci handbag,
okay,
then really, that's not a Gucci handbag. That's a pile of shit still. You know what I mean? Mm. Like obviously, it's different, but the value is now equated
mm-hmm.
to Gucci handbag and pile of shit. They have equal mm-hmm. value.
That's post-scarcity.
Post-scarcity.
Right.
So really, that's you're saying is the double edge.
That's what's coming.
Interesting. And
I don't know. So my question, I guess, for you, Spencer, uh-huh. is what does humanity do with that? I mean, we're going to also by that time have a VR landscape where we're going to be able to act out a lot of our more, I mean, there's going to be certain actions that we're not going to be able to take in this post-scarcity society, because it is a society and you have to respect the rights and privileges of the people around you. So you can't play out your every fantasy.
Right.
It's only a material health-wise way that sure. all these improvements hit us. So we're still going to have these mental needs, but we're also going to have a virtual reality landscape that a lot of these more outrageous counter societal urges can be played out in an almost real way there to get that worked out. And not to mention the advancements we're going to have in psychology and all of that sort of thing to cure our mental illnesses for things that are excessive. And the way we're going to detect that and be able to cure those, we're not going to have a bunch of people go shooter on us, because we're going to be able to detect people that have that brain chemistry that are prone to that in, you know, 20 or 30 years if we continue on these trends. So what do we do with ourselves? What would you do with yourself if you were going to live for another 2,000 years and you were going to stay looking like you did when you were 19, or however you really wanted to look? You could change however you really wanted to look.
Hmm. I suppose, I mean, shit. So robots would be able to, like, at this point, like, make all the best music too, right?
Robots will do whatever you want them to do.
So you'd be like, write me a progressive metal opus, little robot, and it would be like, and then it would write it.
There you go.
I mean, yeah, I would just like kill myself. No, I don't know. I just mm-hmm. like, but I see, I don't know what I would do, I guess, because I mean, my first instinct would be to just like make music and just to get really awesome at that. And just spend the rest of my days making as much music as possible. But then if the robots can just do that and I'll never, you know, succeed in the traditional sense of like making things that resonate with people, then I mean,
let me stop you there for a second. And just take one of our famous sidetracks.
Yeah.
So do you really believe that a robot could do as good a job writing a musical opus as a human being?
I don't believe that currently, but I believe that if we're in a world where a robot can turn cow shit into a Gucci handbag...
Because we're not... I have to make a distinction here. Because one of the stumbling blocks and one of the things that could really keep this from happening is the invention of AI. So this post-scarcity society almost depends on the fact that we are unable to create an AI computer, or if we do, we create one that is completely subservient to human need.
Okay, I see what you're saying, because like music and art require at least some form of both self-awareness and suffering, I think. And if the robot is neither self-aware nor aware of its own plight, then I don't think it would create music that is really like, or art or writing or whatever for that matter, that is like super appealing to human beings, that resonates with them on the same way that a human made would, but I still think that they would be creating some pretty incredible stuff. And I think it would be like a new, like new genre. Like it would be like, oh, this is a human made album, you know, and that would be appealing in its own way because of the limitations of man. But then there would be people who are only listen to robotic music, robot made music, because those, you know, oh man, they've found new scales, new semitonal scales that are algorithmically programmed to just like tweak your brain out in certain ways, you know. Oh,
that's something that, yeah.
You know,
that's
so I think
something that would be interesting.
You know, I do think
I can see that. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
So
I still think that the best, the stuff that will most resonate are the bands and the genres that will develop that highly, that'll be a partnership between the computer and the perhaps one or two human beings.
Then fuck yeah, that's what I would dedicate my life to.
Or
I would
dedicate like, my life. We already have that with Brian Eno. Right. You know, because he's part.
They're the perfect union of man and machine.
He's part robot. What? He's like 30% robot now, something like that.
At least, yeah. Yeah, yeah, I don't know. I would dedicate my life to creative endeavors and to making things. You know, with my new robot powers, I would just keep striving to make art and music and literature. That's the thing, is I would probably be able to expand into other realms, and so would everybody, as far as like the things that you're capable of getting done.
Well, one thing is that these nanobots and these enhancements, they believe that we will be able to have a perfect recall of everything that we have seen and heard. We'll get that perfect access to, we'll be able to recall this conversation verbatim at some point if we both make the cut of when this hits society. And we'll be able to do that all the way down to the moment that we start to collect memories and retain them in our brain, because we'll have a more perfect retention and access mode. So that will change some things.
I mean, yeah, this the whole thing is so, like, awesome, but also equally like inconceivable, because I guess the more that I think about it, the more my life really does revolve around need and want and not having, and you know, striving to achieve things that I don't have now. And I guess if that was all taken away from me, you know, as far as like monetarily and physically, you know, all that would be left, if the robots don't fill our desire for art and music and literature, would be to create art. And hopefully there would be a renaissance of that sort. And basically everyone would be left to pursue their one passion. Like, my one passion is carving little wood blocks in the most intricate way. You know, because I do believe there are infinite amounts of these things. And I think that's what people would end up doing, you know?
I think that I agree. I think that there would be a huge return to the idea of, like, Zen and the reward of doing simple things that have meaning just to you. And that is the beauty of existence. And there would be time, and there would be the lack of pressure. Because if you're living as long as you really want to live, I think that you no longer have to impress people, because it's not a race anymore. That would change some stuff.
But my issue with this whole thing is, like, it would all have to be implemented, like, to everyone almost all at once. Because if a few people got a hold of it, then, yeah, I know what you said about me, you know, it only takes one to get out. But, you know, if we're dealing with the gatekeepers who are already enhanced, then, you know, maybe they possess the power to keep it, and the knowledge and the intelligence to keep it away from everybody, and therefore really tip the scales as far as inequality goes, you know.
It'll be like gunpowder or the horse or the saddle, that once they were developed, or the making of, I'm probably sure if you go back, like the making of iron and the making of
fire.
Bronze. you know, yeah, one group discovers how to do a new technology and they try to hold on to that technology as long as they can. If it's discovered in China, China's going to try to keep it to themselves and utilize it to their advantage as long as they can. But how long did America hold on to the nuclear war, nuclear weapons before Russia had one? And then who knows how, you know, it moved quickly.
Right. Yeah, no, you're right.
And it will be the same. I think it's going to be the same thing. And like I say, it may be too late for me, and I'm kind of glad because, I mean, I think that, like, Diane's okay, and that's kind of exciting, you know?
Well, you're, if that is the case, your generation and possibly my generation will be regarded as, like romantic heroes, you know, mm-hmm. what I mean? The last yeah. people to deal with the weight of mortality.
We'll be a legendary yeah. group of people.
People won't even be able to conceive of what it was like to have to work to eat, mm-hmm. you know?
It's true.
You had to slave away at something you didn't want to do just to put food on your table?
It'll be as alien to them as it is to us to hear about people living in caves. You know, as aliens, our life would be to somebody that lived in a cave as a Neanderthal.
Yeah.
Like, you know, really, you have fire all the time? You know, like, yeah. you can store your meat.
Your, like, water comes out of a tube into your home you want.
You have scissors, you have, like, metal, you have, like, sewn garments.
Yeah, where you were clothes.
It would be so alien to somebody of that time to look at a human being living in our time as much as it would be. I guess that's not, like, it would be as alien, like, if you look at somebody in, like, the Middle Ages would be really advanced to somebody that lived in a cave as this post-scarcity society would be to somebody in Middle Ages. They wouldn't even be able to understand it.
Right.
We can sort of imagine it. That means that we're getting kind of close.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is not something yeah. that totally blows our mind, where, like, somebody right. in the Middle Ages would probably, like, heretic, and they'd burn you at the stake for even bringing it up.
Right.
They wouldn't be able to process it.
Right.
You know, we can process it
yeah.
pretty easily.
I mean, we've seen it kind of in, like, movies and culture for a while now.
And we experience on a weird level. I mean, we're not getting whipped as we
sure.
as we do our duties every day. You know, we're relatively pampered individuals. You know?
Definitely.
I have, like, no blisters and whatever. I guess I have one blister on my hand. But, like, I only have one blister on my
only
hand.
Only one.
That's pretty good.
And it's not bleeding.
I guess it's not bleeding. Good. It stopped bleeding.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's an important thing for everybody to think about, because there's a good possibility that all you bastards out there listening are going to be immortal and going to have to figure out what the fuck you're going to do with yourself once you get everything that you've ever wanted.
Right.
So,
and material shit isn't really going to be worth anything anymore. Like, think about that. Because if the one thing that you wanted was a Ferrari, well, Joe Schmo and Larry Derpenstein and all of your fucking neighbors all have Ferraris. In fact, they all have the most crazy souped up Ferraris. In fact, the crazy guy who used to be homeless before he got nano robot blood, he's got a Ferrari too.
Yeah.
So the whole point of getting a Ferrari is it's like your new fucking station wagon.
Wait,
you know?
What kind of Rari?
Brr, brr. Fuck on my Rari, blunt. God.
Oh, 58.
I don't know different kinds of Raris.
Damn.
Yeah,
I don't really know.
Do you know? Yeah, you don't know. I don't know.
Who I know better than you do.
You probably. Can you name
my dad
one?
My dad was at 458.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I can't name a single Rari.
Ferrari Testarossa.
I think people are going to look back and be like, God, that's fucking stupid. People are just like racing around in this metal shit.
I don't think people are going to look back at us and say, God, that's stupid. I think they're looking just right at us right now, right? And they don't have to look back.
What do you mean?
Are you talking about our podcast?
No, I'm talking about Ferraris and people's obsession with, like, materials and
It's going to be, that's crazy. That's going to be like us being like, oh, people used to walk from village to village in the Middle Ages and whip themselves.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, and do penance. Like, yeah. Really? And, like, cover themselves with the ashes and just cry for days.
So that's all I'm saying is, like, the people who, like, you know, who might be listening to this or might have heard about this, and then they're thinking of, like, wow, if I had the rest of my life to live, or sorry, if I had, like, immortality and nothing to worry about, I would go around and get all of the trophies or, like, all of the all of the Pokemon cards. It's like, all right.
But you can just, there they are.
There they are. They're no longer hard to get. That's no longer an accomplishment in this world. So think a little bit deeper. Think a little bit more about
people what would you still would do. Go after like real world stuff that we have.
Like, sure,
they
like
would
an
want
original.
To have like originals of things. Sure. So there would be some of that.
I see what you're saying. Yeah,
but it's kind of like the collecting of comic books once they started to come out with the big thick comic books at the bookstore where they collected all the old issues. Is like the values went down because a lot of people were buying those to read them. You know, because they wanted to find out what happened in their old series.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So. You know, it's going to change things in a huge way.
So, and the other issue is like, okay, maybe there's like a bit of depression that sets in because everything is the bar is essentially lowered.
There's a big baby factor, big baby.
Right. But at the same time, it's like, aren't these robots doing a number on our brains as well? And basically making us into like Zen monks, you know?
Yes.
So it's like, you would just see that and you'd be like, I guess I never really needed that in the first place.
Yeah.
I am content in my oneness and my aloneness and everything else in the world. So I will drop all necessities and attachments to life, you know? And I will just sit and I will walk the earth and I will look at the little creatures and I will love them. And, things like that.
I think that's exactly what will happen. There'll be a huge movement in Zen. There'll be a large portion of people that decide to live in that VR
right.
environment.
Where things, they would still have a simulated difficulty. Mm-hmm. Like you're a flabby guy who's got to work out, you know? There would be like the workout game. You know what I mean?
Because they can keep score there and they can live in their Grand Theft universe and they can keep score with all the other people playing there and then they can come out and they have something to talk about in the real world because they're spending so much time living that life. It'll be like real world or whatever it was on the internet where people had like their business there, but they could, you know, they could sell that
like
for
Sims.
Real money because it was like an accomplishment in the internet. It's going to be that.
Totally.
So some degree there'll be that. I think that there will also be like huge pleasure ranches and huge, I mean, there will be a hedonistic movement also, the level like the make the 1960s look like the high middle ages.
Yeah. Let's see how much heroin these robots can take. You know what I mean?
It's going to be insane.
Right.
It's going to be insane.
No, I could see that happening if you no longer have to deal with the physical repercussions of
I could see myself enjoying that for several years, but when you get tired of it, you're going to, I'll read a lot of books, man. I'll read a lot of books that
all
I never
books.
I like. Yeah.
Right.
I guess you could probably just download them all into your brain if you wanted to. It'll get to that point.
Yeah, who knows? It would be a novelty to read a book, I think, at that point. It'd be like one of those things, like one of these little tasks that you don't do because it's efficient. You do it because it's like
for the enjoyment.
For the enjoyment.
The Zen enjoyment of
exactly.
it.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I know I could just download and understand this entire huge book in like 10 seconds, but you know what? I'm going to go and I'm going to read it because that's what life itself is about. Now I have all the time in the world. So now why not allow myself to do that kind of thing?
And I would still, you know, go for walks, you know, and walk and walk and walk. And it would be nice to go and not get tired. You could be like, I'm going to go walk the Appalachian Trail and see the whole thing and not worry about having to stop. You could just like eat shit off of the ground, you know, because you can eat whatever you wanted. You know, your body would just process
just
whatever it needed out of it.
Damn, this is fucking crazy.
Yeah.
This is some sci-fi shit.
This is some sci-fi shit, but the idiots are the first to tell you that this shit's coming.
It's coming, ladies and gentlemen. And you know what? You're going to be telling your grandkids about a world when people used to die, you know?
And you're going to look 20 years old while you're doing it.
You're going to look 20 years old. Hey, what about the procreation thing? You think people are going to still have kids? That would be my biggest concern. It's like now everyone's free to just like fuck, you know? Are we still having babies? Are we just going to be filling the planet up with of us?
Well, again, it's only going to be babies that are wanted expressly and planned.
Interesting.
Because no
like
one
you could abort yourself. Kind
no
of thing.
One will get it. No, you just won't get pregnant unless you want to get pregnant.
Whoa.
And if you want to get pregnant, you can decide like, okay, I'm married to him. I'm only going to allow my body to get pregnant from him.
Whoa!
And I can have sex with all these other people.
What?
But if I get pregnant, my body, I know that it's only going to be him.
That's crazy. Mm-hmm. Are you, you're just making this shit up right now.
Just making it up. No.
Well, I mean, you're theorizing. I mean, I think that the science fiction is where a lot of the real world gets its ideas for, you know, what is going to happen. You know, if you think about it, like, science fiction is like the realm of the possible.
That's just extrapolating existing technology.
Right.
That's all that is. It's just genetic screening and knowing, like, sure, a genetic signature of a certain person.
Which,
and that, yeah, being the only person that would be able to fertilize it.
There's any, one keyhole.
Any egg that was fertilized by anything other than that genetic profile would be immediately
eaten by nanorobots.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Mm-hmm. That's fucking cool. You know what? I'm down, because I would just get to sit on Mount Rushmore and play my guitar for 6 years straight or some shit like that. You know what I mean? And then I would do? I don't know if aging is reversible, but I would like let myself age for a while. Mm-hmm. I would like reverse it. Like, I would let my body like start to decay just so I could like remember what it used to feel like.
That's one thing, is that people would get tired of being immortal, because it would be such a thing that, like, if you were out swimming and a shark bit off your leg, you could grow another leg.
Really?
Or if you like went
what about a head?
If you went bungee jumping and you landed splat, you could grow. Just, you would not necessarily die.
Nothing would. Well, how fun would those things be anymore if there wasn't that little threat of like, oh, I could maybe
but
die.
But you could also turn off your safety protocols.
Ooh,
so people
I see.
Could turn off their safety protocols when they were tired of living.
Damn.
And decide, like, I'm going to go climb Mount Everest for real.
This dude climbed Mount Everest with no safety protocol? Mm-hmm. Are you kidding me? That's insane.
Right. And then I think that would be such a thing that eventually people would accept suicide as a possible release.
Down.
A final release.
Yeah.
Or people would decide that, oh, we're going to just go and it's time to travel to the stars and we've got time to long enough that we're gonna.
Well, that's the thing. We would be going elsewhere, I think, if this was the case. Like, that would be a bunch of people's big
goal. Yeah, that
would
be a huge thing. You know,
explore the stars.
One thing that I find interesting is that the idea of volunteering your time to help the needy and the poor and the troubled and all that sort of thing would be obsolete because those people wouldn't be there anymore.
Right.
You know, and
so what would those
and
people,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, and nature would be able to pretty much repair itself. You know, I mean, so it would, yeah, it's going to be pretty incredible. I'm sure that there will still be tidal waves and volcanoes and different things to come.
Mm-hmm.
But, that if we don't, you know, get hit by an asteroid before then, or we have an AI that shows up and decides that humans need to be exterminated,
like,
or
what
we
if
all
you're,
are going
what
to become
if,
their pets or
what
whatever.
What if you're entirely digested by a tiger? You know what I mean? There's still going to be
course.
Things that
yeah.
can happen to
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
You're just completely 100% disemboweled and dismembered and you're scattered to the edges of the earth. Like, you're gone. Those robots are still alive. They could go scurry and climb into a plant or
right.
whatever. But
right.
but you're done. Like, there would still be a sense of mortality, but
in theory, those robots might be able to travel through that tiger's intestinal system, be defecated, separate enough of itself into a pure enough form, recycle the nearby materials into replacement parts for your body, rebuild you with all the way you were the moment that the tiger attacked you with your memory intact from up to that point.
What the fuck?
Perhaps there is possibility that once it gets to a certain point, that is a possibility.
Okay, so then that means that really the only type of death that there is suicide.
Essentially, you'd have to turn those protocols off. There's a lot of things that we don't know that might,
right.
considering
this is
the
all
soul,
theoretical.
The aspect of the soul is an interesting one. If that were to happen, if you were to become that discombobulated, would if there are souls, would soul leave your body and then you would be dead? you know, you can come back in that form, but, you know, would you be a vegetable at that point, or what would be going on? Or you'd be a soulless robot, or are there souls and it's all, you know, who knows what it is, you know, but that's, there's some interesting questions to how that would work, but possibly.
So it could be possibly like, you know, the only time anyone ever dies is when they choose to. So that really there's no difference in between suicide and death, because in order to die, you chose to die.
Or there are unforeseen difficulties of extending life that long that we don't see with even with this technology we don't understand.
I'm sure there would be. I have a hard time believing these little blood robots would be like super down the whole time. You know, like if they can recreate themselves, that essentially is cellular division, which is then.
And they are essentially like biological.
Right, they're just made of different atoms than we are. You know, they're not made of carbon. Well, no, they would. They would be made of carbon.
They are us. They're just little, like, smart cells of us.
So, yeah, I don't know. I think there would just be, like, unimaginable problems that could go wrong. You know, things that we can't conceive of because we haven't ever entered into a universe.
Nothing's perfect. Yeah, right, absolutely. Right. And in the sense that, like,
but that's a good thing.
The
caveman
would have looked at the medieval life of the peasant and thought it was a paradise because they had places to live and clothes and, like, food to eat regularly and agriculture and all this stuff. Just like a medieval peasant would look at us and be like, man, they've got cars and they sleep inside with heat and all sorts of stuff. The same way we look at that, but we all have problems that make ourselves miserable. So maybe we'll be equally miserable as we are now. It's just going to be a lot more on that intellectual side.
Right.
Maybe the internet will be so miserable at that time that just like looking at Facebook will send you into a 100-year depression.
Whoa.
You know, maybe it'll get that bad.
Damn.
It'll just be like having a, like a lobotomy.
Facebook won't be around then.
Oh, yeah. No, it'll all be Facebook then.
No, Facebook is going to go away.
We'll be happy Facebook.
No, Facebook is going
You have a good Facebook.
Did you Facebook your Facebook today?
Good Facebook.
Good Facebook to you, sir.
I Facebook you.
All verbs are replaced with the word Facebook. I just Facebooked over to the Facebook, and then I really I gave her the Facebook. I Facebooked her the Facebook.
How'd she Facebook it?
Oh, I Facebooked it real Facebook.
Those Facebookers.
Facebook.
All right. Well,
I think that wraps it up. I mean,
yeah, I about want to do myself in now after that. Shit, that about wraps it up. Shit. Yeah. So we got a little bit of a beverage tasty to do. Nice. We'll be right back in you know, about 30 seconds or so. We might even throw, like, you know, we're getting fancy now, so we might even throw a promo in between now and when we come back with our beverage.
Yeah, just you wait,
because we're like mixing it up. We're all like high on the hog here at the IDTU. All right, be back. The big questions.
Can I curse?
Okay, yeah, let it all out.
The hard truths.
Astrology is still bullshit, as the universe doesn't care about you.
Idiots discuss the universe. We're poorly informed, highly opinionated, and hold no topic off limits.
Because anything that we're bound to talk about, we're bound to sound like idiots.
Idiots discuss the universe.
Like and subscribe on iTunes or listen on your favorite interweb podcast portal.
Everybody, we're back. We got a special I know that we did like a 4th of July bonus episode, but the way that we record episodes, today is actually the 4th of July.
Yeah.
So I guess it's patriotic or whatever the hell it is. Because it seems like it's kind of from I don't know where it would be from.
But this beverage
I don't know, Cidral Munde. Where would you say that's from?
That sounds French to me.
French?
It doesn't sound like no American I'd ever heard of.
It's sounding like
Cidral Munde.
But it is apple soda. So well, I thought apples was kind of patriotic.
You know what my feelings are on apple beverages in general?
I don't. Yeah.
You know what they are?
What?
I'm not a big fan of apple juice, but I love like sparkling apple juice.
You're a crazy person.
I don't know why. I'm like, apple juice just tastes like fucking sweetener and water. I don't know. But sparkling, when it's got that... Whoa, nice. When it's got that sparkle in there, I'm like, you know, that's really great. It's great stuff. I will drink all of the Martinellis, you know?
Yeah. How about cider? What do you think of cider?
Apple cider? I like the hot cider.
Okay.
You know when they have it cider. Hot? Have you ever gotten like hot cider?
Yes.
You scoop it out and it's like kind of like opaque. I like and like spicy almost. Like it's got some spice to it. Got some like spice. I like that stuff.
That is pretty good.
But like
that
the cold apple
that's
juice.
Super warming. You know, it's super warming.
It's really good.
I'm trying to see where this is bottled. You got better eyes than me. I'm going to pour this off here.
Okay.
All right, here it goes.
Oh, that is just some...
It's got a nice fizz to it.
Mm-hmm.
I can already tell. I can already tell this one's not probably going to be for me. But it has a nice fizz. It seems like it's quality.
Hey, don't judge the bottle before you drink it.
I can just tell you from the smell.
You know what they say. Can I see it?
Yeah. Please.
So, analyzing this bottle here, and since 1902.
Wow. Well, there wasn't, a whole lot of flavors to choose from back then. You had to choose either apple or cherry.
It's made in Mexico.
Mexico.
Yeah. Cidral Mundet.
See, that doesn't sound like a Spanish at all.
Mundet. Oh, but you know what? Distributed by Tip Distributors, Inc., El Paso, Texas.
Uh-huh.
I don't know, man. Well, this thing's all
it's
over the place.
It's a weird conglomeration of stuff going on with it.
No, it's weird. I wonder if maybe it was named after a French guy who, like, moved to Mexico. You know what I mean? Like, one of those things.
There's probably a twisted story behind it. Yeah,
I mean, relatively few ingredients, which I like, you know.
Anything strange or just the
well, you know, apple? They've got a caramel color, sodium benzoate, which, you know, to protect the taste.
That's in everything. What are you going
to
do?
Malic acid to provide tartness. And citric acid also to provide tartness. Natural flavor. There's that pesky natural flavor. Who knows what that fucking means?
I want space flavor. Look, sometime like
yeah, flavor. Unnatural flavor
from space. All right, are we ready?
Yeah.
All right,
here. Yeah. You know, it's just like fucking apple juice that they put some a little bubbles in.
Yeah, and I love apples, but I don't like apple juice. Like, God. Damn, we drank a lot of apple juice when I was a kid.
That's what it is, like, I think.
Fuck.
They just overload you on that shit, you
know? Treetop, like, fucking crazy. Every time you were have some apple. I don't want any fucking apple juice. It tastes horrible.
Yeah.
Weird tasting. And it still is, like, I mean, like, I'm going to barely be able to choke this down.
Honestly, this tastes like some Martinelli's that someone, like, left open for, like, 2 days, you know? Like, it's got a really, like, low-grade fizz to it. But it's still got that like apple juicy thing. It's just like some old Martinelli's. That's what this tastes like.
In its defense, it's got kind of like a light sweetness, like a ginger ale. Though if it were any sweeter, it would be a deal breaker like crazy.
I think this is too sweet.
It's crisp enough. It's crisp enough that I can get through it. It's not like a apple juice that has that. You know, that sticky sweet that just coats your mouth.
Yeah.
This is crisp.
No. I mean, this is.
I bet you if you put a little, like, every drink we have, I bet you if you put some booze in there.
Bet you put a little bit of absinthe.
You put enough fucking ethyl alcohol in there, you wouldn't care. You would think that was fine.
You know what? You just got to squeeze a little bit of hand sanitizer in there, and then that'll be ready to go.
I got some hand sanitizer if you'd like. Yeah, I think, are we ready to move into the grading of it?
Yeah, I think so. I mean,
I'm not mad.
No, I'm not mad, but I'm just like...
I'm liking it better as the ice sort of melts and
it's utterly forgettable, though. Like, I don't think I'm going to remember that this ever happened. You know what I mean? It's
maybe I went into it wanting something more on the cider side of thing. I thought it was going to be more cidery, and I guess
like a spicier thing going on.
Yeah.
But...
Like a boozy sort of cider, because I like a cider. I like a booze cider.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, oh, that's for sure. All right.
Like with some whiskey or something in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I give it like a C.
Yeah, I give it
C. Yeah, maybe I plus. Say... I don't know. It's good. It's
yeah, fine. I would. If I'm being,
I'm still drinking I'm
being,
it.
If shit. I'm being fair, I'll give it a C. If I'm putting in my personal likes and dislikes, it's probably like a D plus.
Oh wow!
You know, like I mean, like apple juice is a D. Mm-hmm. You know, it's better than no juice, but like
it's better than no juice.
I mean, like I have no way of getting vitamins. Like I'll drink apple juice.
Yeah, but that would be a great like I would love to see that like a slogan on an apple juice company's apple bottle. Juice. Apple better. Juice. It's better than no juice.
It is. It is better than no
it's
juice.
It's better than nothing.
It is better than nothing. But it's just barely better than nothing.
It's one level above nothing.
It's nothing. It's not anything that I'm seeking out. You know, you can kind of tell why this apple, you can kind of tell they use like apples to like sweeten like fucking everything after you drink this. You can think, oh, everything kind of tastes like that shit. Like gross. That aftertaste.
I don't want to
like
think that. About that.
Okay, sorry. All right. Well, that's been Idiots Discuss the Universe. I'm Craig. This is Spencer.
Bye.
Bye.
Idiots Discuss the Universe is recorded in the IDTU studios located in Portland, Oregon. All opinions and commentary has been carefully researched by the technicians and scholars of IDTU Research Academy, and therefore should be greeted with healthy skepticism and disbelief. No idiots were harmed during the making of this podcast.